I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Maitreyi Ramakrishnan.
Never Have I Ever came onto the Netflix scene in April of 2020 and has since been described as a watershed moment for South Asian representation in Hollywood. Known for breaking Asian stereotypes, the series was created by Mindy Kaling and Lang Fisher and is a coming-of-age comedy and teen drama partially based on Kaling's childhood. Our guest today, Maitreyi, captured the hearts of many by playing the character Davy, an Indian-American high school student coping with the death of her father. We are beyond excited to have her on the podcast. Please welcome to Asian Boss Girl, Maitreyi.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
So before we get into the show, Maitreyi, your family came to Canada as refugees from Sri Lanka and you grew up in Mississauga, Ontario.
Yeah.
We always like to start out by sharing a little bit about the history of our guests. So can you share with us what your childhood was like, where you grew up, anything about your culture?
100%. Yeah, I'm still here in Mississauga right now. Awesome. Yeah, growing up in Mississauga for me and like my brother, he's only 2 years older than me, with my mom and my dad, all four of us living under the same roof. It was honestly an experience that I'm very thankful for because I grew up around a bunch of other kids from a bunch of different backgrounds. So everyone was like trying to figure out who they are and like what's their identity, which is awesome because you get to learn about where everyone's coming from and, you know, about all these different cultures. But you also then have to figure out like, wait, like, what am I? Like, who am I? What is my identity? How am I to the rest of the world, right? Because usually when you see brown girl, you're like, okay, you're just like Indian. Like, that's it. Like all brown people are just Indian. That's it. But there's nothing else. And I'm like, no, that's not right. That's not all who I am. That's the check. And then of course, there were other Tamil girls, you know, in my classes who, you know, did their traditional like Bharatanatyam, which is a very traditional Tamil dance. They actually spoke Tamil fluently and could write and read. I couldn't do all that stuff. I thought it was really cool, and I tried. It didn't really work out well. I was not the best Tamil school kid on the block. But that made me feel like, okay, wait, like, maybe like I'm not as Tamil enough. I didn't check off this metaphorical, you know, checklist of culture that I feel like many, you know, minority cultures have, you know, like these things that we have to do if you want to be proud. And then somewhere along the line, like in high school, especially, it hit me that I was like, I don't care anymore. Like I am Tamil. I'm Tamil Canadian. Tamil is my culture. Canada is my country. And I'm proud of that. And regardless of whether I can speak it fluently or I can only say the survival words, which is what I like to call like water and all the different foods. That's what matters, guys. It's about the food.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Like, this is who I am. And to think being Tamil is just a language or it's just a certain dance, that just does it disservice because it's so much more. And I'm very proud of who I am being Tamil Canadian.
That is a beautiful description of kind of the roundabout way that you feel that you started to accept our culture. Because I know a lot of our listeners can definitely relate. The three of us are all, you know, East Asian. So like you say, are we all the same? No, but we are, you know, parents came from very different places and we all grew up very differently. So we definitely relate to that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my friend, you have such a like a bubbly personality that people gravitate towards. And then we know after high school, you're accepted into the theater program at York University in Toronto.
Yeah.
How, when did you make that decision? And did you face any backlash from your family?
Yeah. So when I was 10, actually, got to kick it back there, because that's when I decided I wanted to be an animator for, you know, Pixar. And I wanted to go to Sheridan College and go to animation school and get the degree and everything and become an animator. Yay. Until all the way in grade 12, in my last year, I realized drawing on other people's time made me miserable, but I was too stubborn to not finish my portfolio. So I kept, you know, at it, kept, you know, working on that. My parents knew I was not going to do anything science and art related. Like, they knew. I dropped my sciences ASAP, like so quick. I did continue with math all the way through high school, though, just because my math teacher was awesome. She's the coolest. Shout out to Miss Yu, because she believed in me and actually taught me in a way that I understood. I'm not very math savvy, though. Definitely not science savvy. But my mom was the one who suggested and said, hey, like, my three, like, why don't you just apply to York for theater? Just, like, do it. Like, just put it in there, you know, put it in the mix. Like, it won't be much commitment to apply. Like, whatever, just do it. And because I did, you know, theater after school, my mom saw, before I really saw how much I liked theater, she saw it. Because she always, my family always pulled up to every single one of my performances. Not just, like, my mom, my dad, my brother. Like, grandparents as well, who live with me. But then also, like, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles. It was like, okay, guys, my Trace family's coming this night. So, like, just reserve the first two rows completely.
That's, you know, cool.
The big brown family. But my mom was the one that told me, you should, like, apply. And thank God she did, because I decided, like, you know what? I don't care if I don't become successful in theater. Like, I never thought I'd be on a Netflix show. I never thought I'd be, like, a celebrity. My idea was, like, I'm going to just do local community Toronto theater, because, like, that's awesome. And I'll just be doing what I like, and I'll, like, make money as I need it and just act. That's just really fun. So that was the plan until the tweet and all that jazz.
Dang.
Well, we love a supportive mom and entire family. That is amazing.
I'm so, so thankful. Like, as a kid, my dad's thing was always like, you tell me what art supplies you need, I'll buy it. Like, you need the lessons. Like, my mom and my dad put me in piano lessons when I was a kid. And because I love, like, piano, they were like, yeah, like, continue with it. Like, same thing for my brother. My brother loved guitar. He also did piano too, but then he liked guitar more. It was like, okay, cool, go do guitar. Like, truly, my parents raised both my brother and I to not think that anything was out of our reach. If you wanted to do something, do it, but, like, do it with all of your heart.
For sure, for sure. Shout out to all the supportive parents out there.
Right?
Yeah. Thanks.
I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for them. Like, honestly, my mom and my dad, season one, they split the season, because every single day they came on to set with me, because at the time I was 17. So I was still technically a minor. Every single day, my mom would still do her job remote on her laptop in season one, and then still be able to come to set with me every day.
Wow. Talk about that balance.
Right?
Wow, that is amazing. Well, all of that has led you to this incredible show, Never Have I Ever. First off, what a great show and way to represent for the South Asian community. Like, I freaking love it. In the show, the character you play, Davy, she faces some, you know, pretty intense challenges around her cultural identity and relationships with her mother and her family. Yeah. Can you relate to Davy on a personal level? It sounds like your parents are amazing people, but can you relate to Davy on a personal level on any of these experiences?
Yeah, I still can relate. I mean, my parents are the bee's knees, but I think I only really realized that in my, like, last couple of years of existence of my 19-year-old existence. Because, you know, we always, like, for the most part, take our parents for granted when we're younger, you know? Right. I definitely had my walls up and, like, was a trouble child when I need to be a trouble child and just be a misfit. So definitely understood where Davy was coming from when it came to, like, feeling, you know, her mom didn't understand her, and that there was no one in her house that understood her, and that she was truly just someone that came in, came out, went to school, and just happened to live at this address, right? But then, like, you grow up and you realize, like, oh wait, my parents are capable of, like, also being upset, and they're also capable of you know, not knowing what to do and are capable of making mistakes. I think it's the pedestal we put our parents on of just like, no, like my parents don't cry. Like, and then you see them cry for the first time and you're like, like, ew, what?
Are you?
You have feelings?
Like, it's like you see them as humans for the first time. You're like, oh my gosh, you're actually a real human, right?
Yeah. Like, you're crying. Why are you, that's okay. They're there. It's weird, right? But yeah, no, for sure. Can relate to Davey in those ways for sure.
Well, it is amazing that at the age of 19, you realize that, because I think we've met a lot of people who have that kind of reflection on their parents, and especially children who are of like kind of this like mixed culture background, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's even more of a gap sometimes between you and your parents. So the fact that you've kind of come to that realization now is amazing. And it means you have a beautiful long road with them to further develop that relationship.
Yeah.
So in the show, in addition to the relationship with her family, Davey also goes through a lot of, you know, she's in high school, and we see, as you know, as a viewer, her kind of go through this identity, not crisis, but trying to formulate her place in her school and with friends, and, you know, getting crushes and dealing with enemies. Were there any kind of instances in her experiences on that front that you feel like you could relate to?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people can relate to this, but in general, the idea that like in high school, the only thing that matters is what happens within those walls of high school. Like that's the world. Your entire world. Like, you embarrass yourself like at high school. It's not like, oh, it's just one day, it just happened, whatever. No, it's like, oh my God, like I'm going to die now. I'm just going to die. This is the end. This is the end of me. And this all sucks. But yeah, definitely in that front, I feel like Davey's definitely one of those kind of teens, as many are. And then just learning how to, like, you know, be a good friend. I feel like one of my favorite parts of Never Have I Ever is the relationship between the three girls, you know, with Eleanor and Fabiola. What I love about them is that, like, we see the flashbacks of like their younger selves and the fact that they've been friends for so, so long, and how they always come, you know, to each other at the end of the day, and they're always, you know, still there for each other, which I really like. And you just realize, like, yeah, these are your best friends. Friendships are so important, if not more important than what you think is like a real romantic relationship or whatever.
Wow, you are really wise beyond your years.
Dude, people say that and I'm like, nah, no. I even when it's like, you have such like a positive personality, I'm like, nah, I'm just very blunt. And I say exactly what's on my mind. I text exactly how I speak. And I just say exactly what's on my mind. There's like no other track.
No filter.
Yeah.
No filter.
We love that. We love transparency, you know, no filters. So last night, I'll be honest, I was rewatching season one and my roommate and I were kind of like giggling over certain parts. And because, you know, we talk about relationships in high school, I think romantic relationships is such a huge thing. And watching you know, do the scenes with Paxton and Ben, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to ask you, like, you know, Davey has two crushes. She has Paxton and Ben, but who would Maitreyi you choose?
Me? Honestly? Like, I've thought about it.
Uh-huh.
They're not good options, man. Like, they're good friends.
That's a good answer.
I'm giving you the honest answer. Like, this isn't even me being like team Davey, because I am first and foremost team Davey and genuinely like am. It's just that, like, also knowing like what I know now after high school, I feel like maybe if you asked me when I was in high school, I'd be this hopeless romantic that's like, no, this is it. Like, this is your one true love. You're going to like get married. Like, no way. Like, both Ben and Paxton could actually make just really good, genuine, solid friends. They really could. Mm. Like, this is just me as my trait. And I think
she just friend zoned them, y'all. She just friend zoned both of them.
Friend zoned them. And there ain't nothing wrong with the friend zone, okay?
Yeah.
The friend zone's great. It's a great place to be. You know, just gotta like set up a nice couch for yourself and just
that's so funny. That is such a great answer. Good answer. I was like, Mel, you can't ask that question on here, but good answer.
I know.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Well, there are some racy scenes in this show, I will say. I mean, hello. how did you feel about those scenes? I mean, do your parents watch the show? Do you ever watch it with them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, No. Wait, hello, no. My grandma, too. My grandma.
Oh, my gosh.
Too. Like, and I'm talking both sides, grandma. My dad's mom and my mom's mom, okay? I'm talking my aunts and uncles from, like, all around the world. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Generally, I like thought about it and then I was like, okay, like whatever. I generally just don't care because it's like, it's acting. Like, I know it's acting. It's not actually real. And it's also like, don't act like you haven't done this before, or don't act like you don't know this is a thing. Like, you know, yes. This thing is a thing. This isn't like some newfound concept for you. I am quite sure that my grandmother has done similar things. Like, logically, in order for my existence
right.
to be here.
For you to exist in this world, exactly, for sure.
So, with that logic in mind, I'm like, like, it is what it is. Honestly, my grandma is also, like, I love her to death. She's so chill. With season 2, she was like, no kissing. Not because she was like, oh, I don't want you to kiss anyone, like, kissing's bad. She's like, COVID. I can't have my granddaughter getting COVID. She's like, kissing other times, okay. Nice. But not now. No COVID. I can't. No, you can't get COVID. But you can kiss whenever else. Like, that's fine. That's my grandma.
Well, has she watched the first 2 episodes? I'm just kidding.
No. My grandma actually has seen the screeners with me. I always make it a point. Like, if my whole family can't, like, sit in, like, our living room. Because, like, I live with my parents, my grandparents, my brother, myself, mm-hmm. and then my dog. But if I can get my whole family to sit down, be in the same room and watch, I'll always still, like, make sure at least, like, my grandma can. So, yeah, she's seen it, but she was genuinely, like, honestly, I was waiting to see if she'd say something about COVID, but then she was way too into it.
Oh,
and was like, oh, wait, now I might be Team Ben. Wait, now I might be
Jackson.
She's got her opinions.
Oh, that just means it's that good of a show for your grandma not to have that opinion anymore.
Nah, she's so biased. No. She's so biased. She can see me do anything and be like, yes. And I'm like, okay, Ma. Cool.
Is all of your family kind of open like that? Like, do you have open conversations with your parents about your dating life and all that kind of stuff?
For the longest time, no. I would keep that all to myself. It's like, I don't want to talk about that. But looking back, my mom always, like, tried her best. Like, specifically, her always tried her best to, like, make sure it was, like, an open environment. Like, you can talk to me if something's going wrong. You can talk to me and all that. And I always actually built up this sense of, like, ooh, if I spilt something, like, I spilt one of my secrets, I would be in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case. Like, my mom was just like, no, just tell me. I'm not going to, like, go off at you. Just tell me. But in my mind, I just was convinced you are going to go off at me. Like, you're not going to be happy. This is for, like, my family that, like, lives with me, definitely in our house. There's nothing, like, off the table. When it comes to my dad, if it was, like, me asking for something and he disagreed, the whole, like, idea is nothing can't be debated. And when I was young, when we were talking about just things happening in the world with, like, my brother and I, my dad sometimes would purposely take a different stance just to start a debate.
Wow.
Just to be like, yeah, no, prove to me, like, this is why you believe this. Like, communicate to me, like, this is why you think, you know, you're right.
I mean, I can definitely see how that helps you develop your perspective and a clear understanding of, like, why you believe what you believe and where you stand. So that is amazing. The next question is a little bit more serious, but I'm sure I'm really intrigued by what you'll have to say. So, you know, as a young South Asian Canadian female actor, you are in an industry that is kind of infamous for being quite cutthroat and quite, you know, just intense. How do you feel like, you know, with your gender, with your ethnicity, with your age, what are some of the challenging experiences that you've had so far?
Yeah. What's crazy is that like in high school and middle school and like elementary, I never thought I was discriminated on. I was like, no, I'm like one of the lucky ones. Like no one's racist to me. No one's sexist to me until I got into the workforce and I've faced that. Let's be real. Like, you know, that's where a lot of people face that in any respective industry. And then I looked back and was like, no, dude, like you definitely faced that when you were a kid too. You just didn't realize it. You just like accepted it. And when I talked to like my other, you know, like Asian friends, they even realized themselves that it's just like, oh, I just thought that was normal. Like I just guess I normalized that. That's just how we grew up. It's just how it is, or just general teasing. They're not like being racist. They're not being sexist. It's general teasing. And then you're like, wait, no, that was like low-key messed up. That was not fun. In this industry though, like, yeah, you're right. Like it's 100% cutthroat. It is changing. Like it's changing for the better. And I'm not gonna, you know, lie and be like, yeah, we're getting better. We're like moving forward. Like, yay, crazy. Like, no. It still sucks when, you know, I have a bunch of people saying, oh my God, I related to Davey so much. And then I still see comments being like, I never related to Davey. I wasn't like this at all in high school. At first, I used to think like I would take it personally. Like, oh, I did a bad job as Davey, or I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said this or whatever. But then I realized, no, get off your high horse. This is not about you. This is not on you. It's actually on the fact that these guys just aren't Davey. And how could they be? How could every South Asian girl, let alone like all Asian girls, relate to Davey? No way. That doesn't make sense logically, right? So I was like, if I can't have that expectation on Davey, and I understand where these guys are coming from, and I truly empathize and understand the frustration when they say like, damn, I wish this was more like me. Cause it's like, you know what? I would have too. I want to be seen. I don't want to have to pick between the very few characters that we have to look like ourselves, but none of their personalities match mine. White people get all the different characters and all the different shades, and then some, to even make sure it's down to the T of whether a blonde or a brunette. But for us, it's like, no. You're going to be the shy nerd, or you're just going to be this character. You're going to be this personality. But for the girl, the South Asian girl that wasn't boy crazy, that was not a hothead, that was maybe only into arts and not academically inclined, who can't relate to Davey, right? The antithesis of Davey. I understand their frustration.
Yeah.
I wish there was someone for them to relate to. That's not Davey's job. That's not my job, because you can't make Davey be relatable to everyone. Then she's just an amorphous blob and suddenly we have a character with no substance. I myself, as Maitreya Ramakrishnan, can't make myself relatable to everyone. I've only been alive for 19 years. I only know so much. I can only speak to my own experiences and just be honest. But hopefully I can do what Mindy did for me and open the doors to create change and bring someone new, right?
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that tweet. If that tweet didn't exist, it wouldn't have been me. It would have been someone else. It would have been a very different show. And I'm so thankful for that idea that she took the time to make that tweet, because that in itself was a lot of work going through every single one of those tapes.
Yeah.
That was a long answer. I'm sorry. I was like,
no, that was the perfect answer.
Yeah. That was a great answer. And Maitreya, I think you're doing the absolute best that you can do. And you're doing such an amazing job. I mean, to have just such like few shows out there, that's the problem, right? We need to have more shows so that people can say, oh, I actually, you know, relate to this character or that character, instead of saying there's only like three to choose from. Like, who do I pick? I can't pick any of these. And all of a sudden you get angry.
Exactly, 100%. And like that in itself of like, you know, Davey being a child of immigrant parents, that story is very different for many people, of like how that comes to be and how that upbringing happens, right? Like, there's only so few characters to describe some of the most like wide variety of experiences that people can go through, like growing up.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that, like, you know, in the Asian community, all of us have different relationships with our identity and culture. Mm-hmm. And you kind of spoke about, you know, growing up and where you grew up, there's a pretty diverse, but you're still trying to find your own place in your relationship with your culture.
Yeah.
What would you say now is your favorite aspect of your culture though?
Well, one thing, like growing up, and I think this is like also like JB, like I was never embarrassed of my culture. Mm-hmm. It was never like a, ooh, like my culture is gross or weird. I never once got that. It was just truly like, I want to understand it. I want to appreciate it. I want it to truly actually be a part of me, something that I genuinely care about. And now being Tamil, I think one of the things that I love the most about it, aside like the food, aside that, mm-hmm. I think it's just the idea that like Tamil people are some of like the most hardest working people I know, that they're really like true hustlers. And we're all around the world, right? Like I got cousins in China. That's so sick. And then I got cousins like America and England and Germany, you know, everywhere. It's so awesome. But they're all hustlers, just like my parents are, where, you know, they juggled so much with their careers, but then also for their two kids. And I see all of my uncles and aunts do the same thing for my cousins. So yeah, that's the thing I appreciate the most about my culture, that we're true hard workers and hustlers.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that for sure. Food and the hustle. Yes.
Yeah. Food and the hustle. Seriously. Yes.
If you are getting bombarded with wedding and bridal shower invites and want to step up your gift game, check out Uncommon Goods. It's an online shop filled with unique, totally unexpected gifts. And when I say unexpected, I mean truly original things you won't find anywhere else. They have everything from decadent cake truffles to gourmet oil dipping spice kits to these beautiful birth month flower growing kits. And they're also introducing Uncommon Experiences. Choose from live online classes in mixology, cooking, flower arranging, and embroidery from handpicked artists and experts. There's this one that I've been eyeing called Handmade Pasta Class and Pesto Jars. That'd be right up my alley. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/ABG. That's uncommongoods.com/ABG for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Anyone who knows me knows that I absolutely love red wine. Now, normally I get my wine from grocery stores, but I recently upgraded to a lovely wine club called First Leaf, which curates wines specific to my palate. I answered a couple of questions about my wine and taste preferences, and then First Leaf shipped a box of wine directly to my home. Now, normally at grocery stores, I have a pretty limited selection to choose from, and I'm making my decision based off of a tiny description card. But when I got my First Leaf box, I had wines that I had never heard of before, from Italy to Chile and Australia. And each came with a beautiful postcard describing the history of the wine, flavor notes, and suggested food pairings. First Leaf wines are also 60% off retail price, and your wines get better with each box. Every time you rate the wine you receive, First Leaf learns more about your palate and can send wine selections tailored to your liking with a 98% accuracy. Whether you're by the water grilling with friends or taking it easy at home, First Leaf is the perfect summer staple. Join today and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Guys, that is a steal. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/ABG, and that's 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/ABG.
For anyone out there who is looking for instant gratification and to get more bang for their buck, Credit Karma Money is a checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. You already know Credit Karma as a company that has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added to your spend account. It's that simple. And when you make a purchase between July 1st and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc., member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
So you are only 19 and you are so, so, so accomplished. I'm curious, you know, is there anything that you want to do in the last year of being a teen before you hit your 20s? Give me something fun.
I saw like on Instagram, like a meme about being in your 20s. And then I was like, ha, that's weird for 20-year-olds. Wait, that's the end of the year for me. Hold on. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be in my 20s. Strange. But anyways, if there's anything I want to do before I hit my teens, like finish my teens, I don't think so. I think I'm good just, you know, living my life. There's nothing I can't do when I'm, you know, 20 that I couldn't do when I'm 19 or vice versa or whatever.
That's true. What was the meme that you saw? I'm curious now because we're beyond 20s. So yeah. Imagine if we did it.
It was about like dating in your 20s, and it's just the idea of somebody asking, instead of asking for your number, they ask you for your Snapchat and you just run away. You're like, oh no, that's a red flag. Don't ask me for my Snapchat before you ask me for my number. That's weird.
We're over here being like, do we still have Snapchat? Like, do we still?
Exactly. Like, no, you don't use Snapchat anymore. You don't, please tell me. No.
Like, no. Isn't it Snap now?
Yeah. What do you even call it? Yeah.
Yeah. Good old 20s. I'm excited. I'm indifferent.
I think that's a good way to live your life. It means that you're kind of like, whatever it is that I want to do, I can just do it right now. What's the difference between time? Yeah,
exactly. Like recently I've been learning to try and rollerblade. I mean, I can do it. I'll do it if I was 40. I'd still learn how to rollerblade. Definitely just slap on those.
I'm so scared to fall on my face with rollerblading.
Dude, but that's why you have knee pads and like wrist pads and like elbow pads. That's what I do.
I'm afraid to get hurt.
You gotta look like a grandma out there now. You gotta pat yourself up.
But Maitra, you're about to have an incredible year. We know season 2 is about to hit Netflix in July. Our listeners probably are curious, you know, what is one piece of advice that you'd always go back to?
One piece of advice that I'd always go back to? Damn. One? There's like one. There's just a lot of shit I've learned over, like everything has happened so fast. Like I truly was just a regular high school kid. Picked out of, you know, Mississauga, boom, new life, new chapter, new season of my life.
Yeah.
But one piece of advice I'd give is actually coming back to the idea of like loving yourself, right? I think that's one thing that I always make sure to remind myself. I really, really gotta like keep working on loving yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if you don't at certain times, like it's okay. I don't always love myself. Like, I'll be honest, like as much as I preach self-love, it doesn't mean I'm always like, oh, I'm the bee's knees. No. Sometimes though, the self-insecurities go so low, go so crippling low, it flips into a God complex, but then it goes back. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, just the idea of self-love and really checking up on yourself and doing right by yourself, keeping yourself happy, doing it because it makes you happy.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Well, the last question that we have for you, obviously season 2 is coming out. What is next for you other than season 2? What else is coming up for Maitri? And also how can our Asian Boss Girl community support you?
Yeah. Well, right now, obviously season 2 is going to drop, but with that being said, I recently got a new like deal to do a movie for Netflix.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you. God.
Called Netherfield Girls. It's going to be an adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, like a modern adaptation. So that'll be really fun. And I'll play Lizzie Bennet. And I'm really excited about that because it's a lead role, of like strong lead female role, not a side character, a full character. And it's not that I was the best brown girl. I was just the best girl, right? Mm-hmm. Just the best girl. Yeah. And it wasn't like they were looking for a specific South Asian girl or any race specifically. They were just decided to cast me. And I was like, yes.
Yes, that is amazing. Woo!
That is, yeah, that deserves a huge round of applause.
Thank
oh my
you.
Gosh.
Well, yeah, I'm very excited for that. And, you know, taking on a character that's different to Davy. So hopefully more people who couldn't relate to Davy could maybe relate to her.
Mm. Yes. Oh, wow. We are so excited for you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Maitreyi. You are definitely an old soul with a very young heart. We cannot wait for season 2 of Never Have I Ever to drop on Netflix today when this podcast comes out July 15th. And we will
Today. Oh, my
today.
God.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Time. We will definitely be following you and your future projects. And listeners, if you haven't already, check out season 1 of Never Have I Ever on Netflix right now.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/asianbossgirl/support or get some merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is @AsianBossGirl.
If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree in our link in bio on our Instagram and click on shout outs. And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
We will catch you all on the next episode.
Bye!